that is something that the planning commission went back and forth on, and felt that 45 feet would be reasonable, plus the 15 feet for additional 15 feet for roof mounted equipment. So it could be a total of 60 feet. You're right. That is on the lower end for data center ordinances. The 45 feet plus the 15 is on the lower end of the height regulations that we're seeing. Although I will say there are some ordinances that cap the height at 45 feet, including the roof mounted equipment. There are some that say 35 feet. I think though, and this could be like a legal call as to whether or not the township could be challenged by an applicant saying that the height, if the height is too restrictive, 35 foot maximum, 45 foot maximum, they may say the height is too restrictive and therefore.
Currently, we allow 45 feet.
Everything else is 45 now.
And I think
in the DDE district.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think the discussion was whether or not to allow additional height for roof-mounted equipment for cooling and ventilation and HVAC units, and that's a discussion that kind of went back and forth between the planners, and they decided to go with the 15 additional feet.
Did we get any input from the fire department on that?
Not to my knowledge.
No. And with these data centers, with the newer types of cooling technology, they use, in many cases now, well, I should say some cases, closed loop cooling systems, where they have, as I understand it, water tanks on top of the building, and the water just circulates through those tanks and through the building's cooling system to cool all the equipment inside. And so, again, they often have that equipment mounted on top of the roof. So, if I think that, and there may be other equipment mounted on top of the roof. So in order for them to be able to do these more advanced types of cooling systems where they're not necessarily continually drawing water from the aquifer or from a surface water source, then it may be advantageous to allow the height on top to accommodate those systems on the rooftop.
At the same time, we're changing our ordinance because we allowed water towers to be whatever height.
Yeah, 65.
Okay, so water towers in the existing ordinance are at 65.
Right.
And so, but you're not just allowing a water tower. Mm-hmm. They've got HVAC units.
Yes.
And my understanding of the noise generated by these facilities is that those HVAC units on the roof are a big part of the noise generation. Wouldn't making them even higher allow the noise to have a further travel distance, especially when you're putting them up over the tree lines?
Well, when we were checking into the noise from these things, they say when they're running, even Roman works on them all the time. He says, when you're outside, you don't hear anything. The only time you hear it is when the power goes out and the generators.
The backup generators are the number one offender.
Yeah, so other than that, they're very quiet buildings.
Yeah, but there was a rather lively discussion, I thought, between the members who were present both times about whether it should be capped at 45 or given the extra 15 feet.
And we're not putting any requirement in there to allow them to get that extra height, that it would be conditioned on them doing it as part of a green roofing water collection system, mm-hmm. or as part of a system where they've got somehow they're disguising it and it's not just sticking out, or that it's reducing the noise, or
right.
Okay. One of the major questions I have is why the buffers at only 100 feet, even to residential, and 50 of that can be disturbed for landscape.
That's another one that the Planning Commission went back and forth on. We looked at 100 feet. 100 feet, I think the model ordinance is 200 feet. Some ordinances go to 250 feet and some go even larger. The Planning Commission settled on the 100 feet, I think in part given that in order so that some of these parcels that are in the overlay district could accommodate those setbacks as well. So if it's a 100 foot setback, those smaller parcels could accommodate the use and the 100 foot setback.
I think that was the consensus. It was kind of geared toward
small
type of
properties.
Yeah, small type of, I don't want to use the word server farm, data center.
Okay, but we yeah, don't.
And we did, and
but
we talked,
don't.
We talked about how some ordinances will have. They will say, you know, 200 feet from residential uses, 100 feet from
commercial.
Any other use, or residential and sensitive receptors. So you may have noticed we use the term sensitive receptor. So it's not just residential. It's, you know, daycare and nursing homes and so forth. So.
And the buffer zone is bigger on that. Residential side.
Is it? I didn't see that. Where does it say the buffer is bigger on the residential side? I only got through the first half, so I apologize. But this is like reading, you know.
It's not easy reading.
No.
On page 3, section 427.4 on page 3.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so subsection C, C1, okay, so subsection C, the minimum width of a landscape buffer shall be as follows, and then C1 is 50 feet where the property line of the data center or data center related use adjoins the property line of a sensitive receptor, any RD residential district boundary, or any street. So it's 50 feet from sensitive receptors.
And 25 to all others.
A 50-foot landscape buffer to help with, you know, noise mitigation and screening and all that.
Which
stuff.
Can
and
be
then,
halfway, I'm sorry, that can be halfway located in the setback. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
So you have effectively the 50-foot setback, and then you have your landscape buffer.
Which is another
50. Of 50 feet. So you max out at 100 feet from the residential property line.
Right.
And we don't differentiate that between properties where they have 50 acres and they have plenty of room and properties where they have 5 acres and they don't have plenty of room.
Correct. And I don't know that you can do that.
Well, we went with the lot coverage change as with the more bigger properties.
So I don't know that you could make that differentiation. In a sense, you would be kind of penalizing a larger property owner. That might be a call for Tony, Solicitor Magnata.
Thank you, Nancy.
What's your thought on that, Tony? I mean, if you got a large piece of property, mm-hmm. you should have plenty of room to move away from the residence next door, but you're not going to if you don't have to.
No, you won't.
And they're going to max out what they can build. That's just how development works.
Didn't we go with the section 414? Lot covered?
Yes.
I thought we did.
So it can go up to 65%.
65%, okay.
But the bigger the properties, we went down.
Provided that.
50% if the property is large enough.
Right.
If it's over 50 acres, it's 50%.
Right, but.
Well, that's 65.
So the argument for the buffer being 100 foot, of which 50 foot is the landscaping, is that if you have a small piece of property, where you're allowed to go to 65% of the lot being covered, you can have a 100-foot buffer. Now, if you're the residents next door to that, which the smaller parcels in that overlay district appear to largely be pretty close to Keystone Park residents, I don't know that you're going to be particularly happy about that. Now, the smaller the facility, the less volume of noise, the less volume of vibration that it would generate.
Probably less noise than Jack Wings.
But we don't scale it like that.
No.
We don't say if the total size of the development is X.
When writing the ordinance, the only thing you do is, as part of a conditional use proceeding, you might want to put something in there that indicates that for these larger parcels that the landscaping has to be satisfactory to the Board of Supervisors, and that the buffer's got to be satisfactory to the Board, because then you can at least come to a mutual agreement with them. The issue I have is that...
But you're being subjective at that point.
Oh, yeah.
So your ability to stand up in court and win is...
Limited. Whereas if you have a set landscape buffer, you have a much better chance of winning the argument.
Right. I'm just trying to understand why we would go that low. And I get the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Another part of the question, and maybe this will help me to put context around the discussion, was about the selection of the parcels that are in the overlay district, particularly in this section out here by Keystone Park, where you see the smaller lots. What was the genesis of the area that was selected?
That may be more of a question for John. Mr. Fuller, township engineer, although we were all involved in that discussion. He generated the map.
The thought process was to have it both ends of the township. I think the thought process was to have it at both ends of the township. Originally, when we discussed it, we were talking about only having a portion of the three lane closest to Westfall in the overlay district. And then at a subsequent meeting, it was determined that it should be the entire three lane.
And the reasoning behind it was if they wanted to buy up buildings and stuff that were there and take them down and make the property bigger, they could. Chances of that happen, really, I don't think are. I think they're pretty slim, but.
Yeah, because originally it was going to be limited to a few properties on the Shahola border and, a dozen or so properties on the Westfall border.
I did not have the time over the weekend to go in and click on these properties and identify, which properties are under what ownership. I'm thinking, if you're a resident of Keystone Park, you're not going to be thrilled about this with a 100-foot buffer, 50 foot of which is the landscaping. 100-foot setback.
Now, the biggest piece of property...
It's not a 50-foot setback. It's still a 100-foot setback, and it's a 50-foot of buffer zone.
50-foot of landscaping buffer.
Right.
And 50-foot, that's just part of the setback.
Right.
Because they're congruent. So that's pretty close.
Not in reality. Yeah,
if it's existing vegetation, it could very well turn out that the entire 100-foot setback is buffered if it's already in, forested area. Now, it might not be the case along the three lane, but in the larger parcels on the Shohola border, that may be the case. So you have a 100-foot setback. If there's existing vegetation there, it says use the existing vegetation.
Yeah, but I think ours said the first 25 feet, if there's existing vegetation, that had to remain. So if it's 25 feet of the existing, they would be putting in another 25 feet of buffer zone. And if they had to, in the case...
What I'm saying is if you take one of those properties and go 100 feet in from the boundary, from the parcel boundary, and all 100 feet is existing, forested land, then leave that 100 feet of existing forested land as your buffer. They're not going to rip out 50 feet of the setback.
No, well, they're going to have to remove some of it, though, so you got room to get around the building with fire equipment and whatnot.
Right. I mean, depending on how they would lay out the site, so. And again, that's something that comes up during the...
Conditional use.
The process, yeah.
But we know that it would be typical that they would look to maximize the buildable area.
Right.
That's almost always what happens.
Right.
So John has to answer the question about how the area was selected parcel by parcel. There's nothing just like the regular ordinance.
I could say the parcels on the Shohola border, I'm pretty confident. Tony, you can correct me if I'm wrong because you were in they were chosen because they're large parcels that
right.
could accommodate a larger scale
correct.
Data center. And then along the three-way, and they're also farther away from existing residential uses. Now there are some residentials nearby, but the overlay was cited to minimize the potential conflict with existing residential uses. So putting it in kind of the least populated area of the township. And now over on the three lane, that was the area. I mean, we did look at other areas in the DD district, mm-hmm. and they were eliminated for various reasons. And then the three lane remained in the overlay again because of the.
Yeah, I think there was, just to follow up on that, I think the center portion of the DD zone was eliminated because of proximity to the aquifer, to the water supply. But I do recall, my recollection is that there was a discussion originally about only having a portion of the three lane closest to Westfall as being in the zone, and then that changed to make the whole three lane. Bob, is that your recollection?
Yeah,
because I think you.
Yeah, because when I came in, I thought we were only talking about.
The commissioners. Yeah, I think the commissioners kind of sorted that out. That was not something that.
The planning board members.
The planning board members sorted that out. Yeah. And they just asked John to draw the map. That's my recollection because I remember being on. When you first came in, talking about just a few properties, and then. It went from there to the entire three lane.
Is there a certain geographic size or number of properties or a certain threshold we're trying to meet to avoid exclusionary standards?
No.
Well, the answer to that would be yes.
Yes, but we're way beyond that.
Yeah, we're beyond that.
Well, what would that be?
I don't think there's a concern here.
Yeah, no, the threshold is only if you're on an island and you're the only property that could be developed out on that island. That would be the threshold. That's really the threshold. In this case, we have several large parcels at the Shohol end of the township.
That's in a conservatory, too, where it can't be built.
Well, that's...
I was going to say...
It's a conservatory, a lot of it's Lutzenberger.
This is what? The Dingman Township Park
and
Lutzenberger, right?
Lutzenberger selling?
As far as zoning goes, that doesn't matter. Yeah. It's capable of being used. It goes into conservation, you can come out.
That can be built.
Right. And the idea was to incorporate this three-lane, because it is our DD district, and the properties are smaller. So if they're going by the property, you're going to end up with a smaller dash.
There's not much here either because...
No, there are a lot...
Property there by...
A lot of properties have developed already.
Milford Chrysler's property behind that, only part of that can be developed because part of it has to be for the runoff for the parking lot.
Yep. And that's a worthless piece of property anyway.
It's narrow. It's wet
Stormwater.
And narrow.
Stormwater.
Well, the reason that I asked that question is because I'm wondering if it would be appropriate to make the zone a little bit smaller and take out some of the properties that are adjacent to those Keystone Park residents.
So
most of that can't be developed back there.
Where is Keystone Park?
It's right out here.
This yellow
right behind
block in here is all Keystone Park.
Correct.
And the tire shop.
Yeah.
And Milford Chrysler sits right in front of it, the full length.
So that's what this is.
That's a whole bunch.
Yeah. This is all Milford Chrysler.
70-something houses.
But these properties, this back here.
But that property out in front, Raven.
There's already a building back there.
Can't be commercial. That was the old...
There's already a building. This is what? This is like the brown property there with the big field? No, that's on the other side of the township line, right? So this is right before... This is the field that's right before.
The field that's right before cannot be built commercial. It's in the deed restrictions.
Right. That's the Westfield Township anyway, that field.
On the other side of Raven?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is.
That's Westfield Township.
That's Westfield.
We ended Sunshine Station.
There's very little.
Are you talking about that property being not commercial?
No, it's the
one. Be on the other side of the line.
Yeah, it's right on the other side of that line.
Right, that's the brown property. And
it was Fisher.
I don't think I'm going to see any, but we have to put something on our books.
Westfall, yeah. And it's not the not property.
Deed restrictions not say commercial. Not commercial. That's.
But deed restrictions are not something that a township, I mean, that's totally separate because Westfall.
But the rest of the properties are all built up. We really don't have, the only thing we have is Snyder's property.
That's on the left-hand side.
I think about eight acres?
Everything else would have.
That's 9 acres.
9 acres?
Nine acres with a stream in the middle.
Just under 10. He's just under 10.
Looking at this, we're not going with just the parcel at the front. We're going with the parcels behind it as well.
Some of it's Park Service.
Right behind Keystone is Park Service.
Yes.
Yeah.
This property you're talking about is the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not in the red.
Part of it that's in the red is park, too.
Yeah.
See? You should put a big map.
Well, the big map is right behind you.
Has it got the overlay on it?
No.
Yeah, if you go down Independence Drive, you'll run right into the park.
Yeah, right behind those buildings, that's Park Service in there. And then where you come in off of Sawmill Drive. And it goes around the back. That's Park Service, too.
Yep. And I believe all them residential houses, border park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Backs up them all, but...
Yeah, no. I mean, not the ones behind the old Olympus Gym.
No, the ones in Keystone.
Yeah, the ones in Keystone, all border.
All border park service.
Park Service.
And I'm curious about this piece that goes that far back. So we're keeping close to the three lane, and then all of a sudden that one property, we go way far back.
That's where, what was that one? That just sold. Oh, I can't think of the name of it now.
Which, that's right here.
I'm looking at that. What, like, okay. We're sticking close to the
Metal
three
Drive,
lane.
I think it is.
And then that one would go way far back.
Yeah. Is it all one parcel that's in the DD?
Well, it doesn't appear to be based on, I mean, it's harder than the scale of that map.
Yeah.
Okay.
To see, but it appears to have lines that it would not be necessary to go that far back.
Here, let me see. On the big map over there.
I'm trying to picture that one.
Yeah, John's not on, is he?
No.
You see that map over there.
Ah. I see it better. So Rachel, we would be talking about this one that goes all the way back. Yeah, it looks like three separate parcels.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm wondering why we went, the rest of them, it looks like we're along the three lane, but then that one were the extra property further back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these three. Don't know why.
Is it just because it's DD zone?
Probably. I don't want to answer for John, but looking at the way it was drawn, it looks like it may be.
So it looks like he just picked everything that was the DD zone.
Yeah.
This, I'm here with this one.
Those three on the right.
Metal Drive. That's what we're talking about. Well, the back part is part of trees. That's the yellow part, though.
This?
Yeah.
This...
That little one right in front of it. That's part of a residential development. That's off of Highland Ave.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't even be in red.
It's our official zoning map. Told Star.
Oh, because that was part of the old quarry.
Exactly.
I didn't know there was a quarry back there.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I believe that became lot 72 in Milford Highlands. Because that's where they were taking all their gravel and stuff out of.
That's where the road came from.
Yeah, the road came from there.
That's where they blew a mountain apart.
Yeah. That's why I said don't start with that lot.
And that's not even a good piece of property.
Yeah, Papillon was there. Moyer and Papillon were there, blown away.
Right in front of it, too, right? Yeah.
Is it 7?
It is 7, yeah.
No, yeah, that's the one I was thinking of, Clarion.
7 o'clock. Call meeting of Milford Township Supervisors to order. We'll pledge allegiance to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What are we going to do?
What's the regular agenda?
So in the minutes, I know the current schedule is $10, the yard fee.
Mm-hmm.
In the current schedule, in the existing schedule, is $10.
Right.
But the draft is $0. Maybe we need to change that. Yes. And in the previous version, it was $0.
Wait, hang on. Let's go through the meeting when we get to that. Approval of the meeting. Minutes from May 20th?
Well, that's what she's talking about, right? Okay. She's talking about the minutes.
Okay. Right.
So she's in workshop at the bottom of the first page.
Yes.
The pricing in the new draft schedule forwarded by Mr. DiLorenzo was reviewed. The current schedule includes a yard sale permit fee of $0 and was $10 in the previous version. So what I'm calling the current proposed schedule.
Or the draft, right?
Right. Proposed or draft.
And the previous and the existing version. The existing
was the...
Existing was 10.
Existing is 10.
And the previous version.
We're going to... And the new version, we're going to take the 10 away because we never charged before.
So it
will
be 0.
Okay. So if we add the word, the current draft schedule.
Draft schedule, right.
And then we say in the... existing version instead of previous.
Instead of previous, right.
Very good. Okay.
Yep.
Any other amendments?